Another class of agents being looked at in AML, and of course already has become part of CLL treatment, is BCL2 inhibitors, specifically the one that's available as venetoclax. What do we know about this strategy in AML?
So yeah, I think it's a little surprising. A lot of that stuff was done at our institution showing that AML is a BCL2 dependent tumor. We knew that CLL was from work that was done many, many years ago, but it wasn't clear about AML. And the use of venetoclax has really established that myeloid leukemias are BCL2 dependent. And so the addition of venetoclax in relapse refractory leukemia patients has a single agent activity about 20%. It's not high, but about 20% of patients are able to get in remission. The cute thing is that when you combine it with chemotherapy, in this case with azacitidine or decitabine, you're able to induce remissions in the 70-75% remission rate. These are older patients. We never see remission rates that high in this age group using hypomethylating agents. And the Australian group has been able to combine venetoclax with low-dose Ara-C, again, a drug that has a 10% at highest remission rate and seeing about a 70% remission rate as well. So really profound, high impact on the ability to get patients in remission. Of course, we need more clinical trials and more randomized trials to know what the impact is on the important outcomes, that is event-free survival, overall survival, safety, and tolerability. But I'm very, very excited about the use of these BCL2 inhibitors in myeloid leukemia in general.
And, you know, venetoclax seems to be popping up in places you wouldn't expect. We hear about it in myeloma. We're hearing about it in mantle cell. And actually, I think it was Dr. Kumar mentioned to me, is there some kind of assay available now to look at BCL2 levels?
Well, there's a way you can measure BCL2, but really you can look at, there's an ability to determine whether or not a cell or a tumor cell is primed. What I mean by primed is ready to apoptose. And, you know, so what ends up happening is chemotherapy induces apoptosis, which is programmed cell death. And the addition of BCL2 inhibitors or venetoclax in BCL2-dependent tumors now, it pushes the threshold to almost to the edge of the cliff. So you just need to blow on the cell and they're able to apoptose. And so that's the magic of venetoclax. And you can do some BCL2 profiling or see if they're primed. Dr. Tony Letai and others worked on this correlative science and has been able to reproducibly predict whether a particular patient's tumor cells are going to be sensitive to venetoclax or other chemotherapies per se, just by the presence or absence of whether or not they're primed.
Yeah, we've talked to your colleague Jennifer Brown about venetoclax and CLL, and there, of course, there's a big concern about tumor lysis syndrome. But it sounds like outside of CLL, this is not an issue. So in AML, not an issue?
So, you know, we're still using the same guidelines that were developed in CLL, just out of respect for the patients who were put on those initial trials and had, you know, some really horrendous outcomes because of the rapid dying. Of course, that's exactly what you want in cancer is rapid cell death. In that case, it was just too rapid, too fast without appropriate monitoring. Now that patients are started on a very judicious and slow ramp up of the drug and are monitored very carefully, this rapid tumor lysis, even in CLL, it can be abrogated and controlled very carefully. We never, ever, ever have seen the same rapid tumor lysis in myeloid leukemias or other leukemias like we do with CLL. There's something peculiar with CLL in terms of the sensitivity to venetoclax.